You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We work night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to you, God, for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. A means of grace. We celebrate communion today. We also celebrate, as Wednesday was All Saints' Day, even though as we celebrate now, we're after that week, and next week is Veterans Day. We have a lot of things in our calendars that we celebrate. There are a lot of things that we remember for one reason or another. But one thing that should be on our hearts, is God's Word. The Word of God. See, they're not just letters on a page put together in a sequence that form a word alone. That's not truly the Word of God. When we read it, rationalize it, try to interpret it, try to understand what it is, then we start opening our hearts, our souls, to the Word. The Word. And sometimes it comes in the form of words. But it's the Word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created without. How integral. How important. And what Paul was doing, as Peter and the other apostles had done, they were not just about talking. The first verse says, "You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We work night and day so that you may not be a burden, any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." They labored. They did things. They were in the communities. They were working. Paul, we know, was a sailmaker. Now, whether that was with linen or leather, could have been any one of those materials. But it was a labor. And when they talk of the word labor and toil, labor is not just, oh, you know, I show up for work. You know, for 30 years in the Navy, some people ask me what I've done, what I did. And generally, I tell them I did as little as possible. But I know that there were some other service members who, whether they were in the Army or the military or the Marine Corps, their jobs were a lot more than the 9 to 5 that I pretty much did. I know even in the Navy there were some rates that had dirty, grimy, hot, wet, sweaty jobs. That's why when I was seeing my recruiter, I didn't select being a boiler technician or a machinist's mate or an engine man or a bosun mate, even though I chipped my fair amount of paint. And I did spend some time down in engineering where it was hot, sweaty, dank, and dark. And I spent just enough time down there to realize I didn't want to spend 27. I didn't want to spend 30 days down there, let alone 30 years. What Paul is saying is he labored. There was work that was done by the disciples, and that's real and evident. And you know what? There's not much better way to offer up to God praise and thanksgiving for the gifts and talents that He's given us than what we just saw today. Whether it was the guitar, whether it was a harp. Okay, it wasn't a harp. They were bells. There were choir chimes. And help me not mess up here. What a saxophone and a flute. Got to stay straight. Got to know your limitations. But wasn't it great? Wasn't it beautiful? Now, that by no stretch of the imagination was a tough and difficult piece of labor. Now, I say that back there because I wasn't strumming on that guitar. Nor was I playing those bells or the other instruments. Okay, now, there may have been a little more anxiety or anxiousness on those who played. Yet, did we enjoy it? All right. Thank you, one and all. You guys were great. And just because you're hiding up there, don't think we didn't see you. Okay, we know you're there. Okay. But that's all part of worshiping together. That's all part of being together. That is the evidence that we see. Just as we have the means of grace in this communion where we receive the body given, the blood shed, as a new covenant of what? Of love. Of labor. Of toil. Things that we're supposed to be doing for people. Whether it's the warming tree, the coat closet, or the coat rack. Or when the mobile food pantry shows up, or when we do one of our food banks. And today at 6:30 at Lower United Methodist Church, there's another labor. Some might call it a toil. But it's an opportunity for us to join together, the five or so churches that will be there tonight at 6:30 at Lower, and share the blessings that we've received this year. So I encourage you to be there. whether you're in leadership or not. Paul continues with, "You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was towards you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging." Now, the interesting thing is in this life application, it says encouragement. In the French language, the word encourage literally means to put the heart in. God tells us to love Him with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. The French word for heart is cœur. I'm not French, so I know I didn't pronounce it right. But so to encourage means to put heart into the people. Paul was encouraging, and so were the early leaders. They were encouraging those followers of the way. They weren't called Christians yet. Encourage. He's putting the heart. The heart. Not just the intellect. He's not appealing just to their intellect with lofty words, great phrases, charismatic presentation. He's not doing any of that because it's the Word that does the work. "As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading with you, pleading that you lead a life worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." If somebody said, "Did you hear that word?" And if you didn't hear it, what's your general... It said, "Did you guys hear that?" What? What was it? It was the Word. Well, what is the Word? The Word is the good news of God. The Word is the power of God. The Word is that instigator, that motivator, that initiator that comes into our lives, comes into our hearts, and lifts us up and starts to transform us. This means of grace that we enjoy today, when we partake of the bread, which is the body, which is given for us, when we receive the wine, grape juice, Welch's, brand name, we receive the blood of Christ. "We also constantly gave thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers." Is the word just something? Is the word just any word? Is the word just something that you or I can read and we keep to ourselves? Or is the Word something that we can't keep to ourselves? We have to share it. And we share it by the things that we do. We share it by the love that we share. We show it by and share it by the deeds that we conduct. Sometimes it's just saying you forgive us, which I've heard a number of times. I deserved it. Well, okay, I didn't deserve being forgiven. I deserved it. Yeah, anyway, we won't go there. But how many times have you done something you know you shouldn't have done? And your better half, partner in crime, says it's okay. And let's keep on going. Mistakes? Who hasn't made them? Sins, who hasn't committed them? None. But we have one thing in common. We have a word of good news. And that is what? That Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We're going to say that as we go through our communion. But think about it. Not just a set of words. It's the Word. This is a promise. This is with passion. This is with energy. This is encouragement. This should come to the heart of the matter is, do you believe? Not just intellectually believe, but do you believe with your heart? Because if it's intellectual only, where's the rest of your body? But if your heart's in it, if your heart is in it, then every blood cell in your body is going to get touched by it. You know, if it's just your brain, okay, controlling impulses, yeah, thoughts, so on and so forth. But every molecule of your blood goes through the heart. And at one point in time or another, gets to every part of your body. So a word of encouragement. Jesus Christ died to save you. And all you have to do is confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Another piece that Paul gives us. That's in the book of Romans. You can look it up. And you're saved. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Just means you're forgiven. And that's where that sanctifying grace starts working. The Word. God's Word. Shalom.